You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. In the past few days we talked about believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday in particular we talked about the favors the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showered upon the ummah, favors that we've heard of and that we've experienced in the past, and favors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we experience today, the recitation of the Quran which was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and great favors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that inshallah al-aziz we will also experience on the day of judgment. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind and generous to the ummah, the ummah also has responsibilities towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain huquq, certain rights the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the right to demand from every one of his followers. Just as the relationship is between the child and the parent, where the parent is responsible of being obedient to the, where the child is responsible of being obedient to the parent, the parent also has certain responsibility towards the child as well. It's a two-way relationship. So similarly, the scholars have listed the rights that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over his ummah. And at the top of that list, and I'll go through a few of them today inshallah al-aziz and continue on tomorrow. At the top of that list lies believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believing wholeheartedly that he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he said to the companions, as narrated in the hadith, "Tuba liman amana bi wa ra'ani marratan." May glad tidings be to the person who believed in me after seeing me one time. Meaning glad tidings be for that person once, who saw me and then that person believed in me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Wa tuba liman amana bi wa lam yarani sab'a marrat." And may glad tidings be seven times for that person who did not see me, yet that person believed in me. And I give you glad tidings that every one of you are a part of the second dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we are people who have not seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet our iman is strong and firm in him. The second thing, believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should also manifest in loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "One of you cannot be a complete believer until I am more beloved to him min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in than his father, his child, and all of mankind." What does that mean? What that means is that your heart yearns to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your heart yearns to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your heart yearns to imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every element of your life, you want to get closer and closer. And if you're not sure what that means, I want you to think of something that you truly love today. Whatever it is in your life that you love today, and think of your attitude towards that thing. Be it your child, your business, your car, your home, your hobby, your TV show. Many of you that have been who have discontinued watching TV from the beginning of Ramadan are waiting until Eid so I can start watching my TV shows again. Because that pain of separation is weighing in on us. Think about how that pain of separation should weigh in on you when it comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thalathatun man kunna fihi wajada halawat al-iman." Three things. Whoever these three things exist within, that person will find the sweetness of iman. Develop in yourself these three things. What are they? The first thing, that Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to that person than anything other than the two. They are the most important. They are more beloved than anything. If a person can truly find their heart in a place where Allah and the Rasul are the most beloved to you, you will taste the sweetness of iman. The second thing, أَنْ يُحِبُّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that a person loves something or he's connected to something, but the only reason why he's connected to that thing is because of the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why you have your friends is because they make you better human beings. The reason why you like your tablet is because it allows you to read the Qur'an through it. The reason why you come to the masjid is because you want to get closer to Allah. Everything around you ultimately connects you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that a person dislikes a life of kufr, a life of ungratefulness, and prays to Allah that he never ever returns back to it. You know, all of us here can admit that life before Ramadan was very different from life in Ramadan. We should ask Allah to save us from that life. The life that we were in before Ramadan, we should pray to Allah, Ya Allah, I dislike that life. Even though I was a part of it, even though my heart may yearn it, I may desire it, but deep inside me, I dislike it. Like a person who's addicted to a particular drug that destroys them. They know it's bad for them, they dislike it, but their heart yearns it just because there's an addiction to it. Ya Allah, we've become drug addicts to the dunya. Ya Allah, we become drug addicts to everything that distracts us from you. Ya Allah, discontinue our addiction to those things so we can now incline towards our Creator and our true purpose in life. These three things, whoever finds them in their heart, they will find halawat al-iman, the sweetness of iman. What does that mean, the sweetness of iman? What that means is that you will find ultimate peace and contentment in your life, building a relationship with Allah. In every sajda of yours, every time you do a dhikr of Allah, your mouth will jump in ecstasy and joy because you are saying the name of your Lord and your Creator. Your whole perspective will change. I mean, look at Bilal radiallahu anhu. Wajada halawat al-iman. He found the sweetness of iman. That's why when you're beating him, you keep beating him again and again. Umayyah bin Khalaf is beating him and beating him. But every time he hits him, what does he say? Ahad, ahad, one Allah, one Allah. Because he's found the sweetness of iman. Kind of like a person who has diabetes. He knows it's going to kill him, but every time he drinks tea, what does he say? Sugar, 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 mita, mita. Right? I have to have some dessert, I have to have some dessert. One of my mashayikh, he used to say, إِنَّ لَفِي الْبَطَنِ خَلْوَى لَا تَمْلَأُهَا إِلَّا الْحَلْوَى, that indeed in the stomach there is an emptiness that can only be filled by something sweet. I can eat biryani all day, but until I don't have my dessert, khana purani wa. My food is not complete. One of our, this is a little quick rant, quick tangent. I don't do these usually during the Ramadan talks, but just quickly. In madrasa, there was one caretaker of ours. He was a very pious person, rahimahullah, he passed away now. Very pious person, always doing dhikr of Allah and reading Quran. He used to drink a lot of sugar in his tea. 10 spoons of sugar per cup. 10 spoons of sugar per cup. Shakar jyada chai kam, right? Less tea, more sugar. In certain parts of India, when you order tea, they ask you, how much sugar do you want? So in Hyderabad, India, they say, khada chamach. Khada chamach means what? A standing spoon. When I heard this the first time when I was in Hyderabad, someone said, khada chamach, that I want. He asked him, how much sugar do you want? He said, standing spoon. So my mind was like, what does that mean, standing spoon? So I asked the guy, I said, what does that mean? He said, you put so much sugar in there that the spoon stands on its own. This is a real story, by the way. It's happened with me. I was there. And I saw this and I was like, Ya Allah, diabetes must be at a rise in our country. And the truth is, it is at a rise in our country. So, Sheikh Abdul Hayy, he became sick, his diabetes, and his health got very bad, and they had to amputate a toe of his. So all the mashayikh came to visit him. He was in the madrasa, so they came for iyada to check up on how he was doing. So one of our mashayikh, he came and he asked, he said, Abdul Hayy, how are you doing? He said, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give me a very long life. So the sheikh said, that's a very interesting thing for you to say. You just lost your toe, and you're so confident you're going to have a long life. He said, listen, after 55 years of drinking 3 cups a day, 10 spoons of sugar per cup, after 55 years, Allah only took one toe, I have 9 left. But then, you know, as you guys know, once one's gone, then very soon after that, rahimahullah, he passed away. May Allah shower his infinite mercy upon his grave and all the marhumin that have left the dunya. When a person loves something, no matter how much harm or good it brings to them, they become blind. As they say in Arabic, حُبُّكَ الشَّيْءَ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. That when you love something, you become يُعْمِي, you become blind. You can't see anymore. وَيُصِمْ, You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to hear about it anymore either, because you're obsessed with something. Like that young college student who studied for 2 years and tells his parents, I found love at MSA. And his parents are like, you didn't find love at MSA. That's my dollar that you're wasting. Go back into your classes and focus on your school. We didn't send you to school to find love at the MSA. But then that person in Junoon, they're lost. Well, my parents, but this is the one person. And then all of a sudden they become very well versed with hadith. Don't you know the Prophet said marriage is a thing you shouldn't delay? Don't you know? And all of a sudden all these ahadith, as if you're speaking to Muhaddith Abu Zura al-Razi himself, all the asanid and the tasheeh and tada'if of all the riwayat, they come. When a person loves something, they're lost. Learn to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a similar way, we look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the things they did for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amazing, lost for words. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered his last sermon of his life. The last sermon of his entire life he delivered in Medina Munawwara after Dhuhr Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the companions and he said, he praised the Sahaba who were martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Then he praised the Muhajirun for their sacrifice for the deen. He turned to the Ansar and said, you guys loved me and gave me a home. He praised them too. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, today I have paid every person's debt back. There's only one person whose debt I cannot pay back. And the Prophet pointed at him, and who was it? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He had his head lowered down and he was crying as the Prophet said, I couldn't pay you back. Because he was in love with the Prophet. He gave everything. Everything. The Prophet said, he had his head down, he was crying, and he kept saying, وَهَلْ أَنَا وَمَالِي إِلَّا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, you keep talking about repaying. Allah gave me this life, Allah gave me this wealth to love you. Where is that heart of Abu Bakr gone in this congregation? Where is that heart gone that just wants to live for the sake of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The concern of that heart is, how can I safeguard the honor of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can I live that honor? And it's not just love, because love is cheap. People just say it, I love. What value does talk have these days? It doesn't have any value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Talk is cheap. People say La ilaha illallah, but they're not willing to stand for La ilaha illallah. They're not willing to prove their La ilaha illallah. And regarding that, the poet says, تَعْصِي الْإِلَهَ تَعْصِي الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَظْهَرُ حُبَّهُ إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الزَّمَانِ عَجِيبُ. You disobey Allah, and then you claim you love Him. What an amazing, interesting thing. I've never heard of this before. That you say, لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ. If you truly loved Allah, you would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Because the lover will always be obedient to the beloved. And that's where our true iman is. It's not just in loving. Loving is really important. Believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that leads to 3, 4, and 5. 3, obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba." Every person from my ummah will enter into Jannah. Every one of you will enter into Jannah illa man aba, except for the one who rejects. Qalu, وَمَنْ أَبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, who is this person that rejects? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَرَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever is obedient to me will surely enter into Jannah. And whoever disobeys me has rejected. He is the one who will not get Jannah. The one who loses out when it comes to obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever is obedient to me is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person once came to a sahabi and said, I have X, Y, and Z. It was a lady. She came to Ibn Abbas, if I'm correct, or Ibn Mas'ud, one of the two, and said, give me the answer for X, Y, and Z issue. I heard that you curse women for doing X, Y, and Z action. Show me from the Quran. I read the Quran and I didn't find the ayah in there. So Ibn Abbas, he said to this lady, that had you read the Quran the way I read the Quran, you would have found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited women from doing X, Y, and Z action. She said, where? And he read the ayah, أَمَا قَرَأْتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولِ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever your messenger tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. What that tells you is that not only do you read the Quran for your answer, you need to read also what? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just yesterday, one young person came to me and asked me this question, that, Shaykh, I want an answer for X, Y, and Z thing, and you must prove it through the Qur'an. Or I didn't find the ayah in the Qur'an. That young person was very sincere and had a very beautiful question. But at the end of it, before I even answer the question, I said to her, before I answer your question, I'm gonna address another problem that I saw in your question. And that problem is this disease that I will only listen if it's in the Qur'an. If it's not in the Qur'an, I won't listen to it. Who in the Muslim world claimed that the entire deen, every fiqh, furu' and asl, every principle and lower issue, the minute issues are in the Qur'an? If we claim that, the Qur'an wouldn't be one volume, we wouldn't be able to read it in 20 rakat tarawih prayer. How long would it take to read the Qur'an? It would take years. Volumes and volumes. Have you not seen hadith books or tafsir books and fiqh books that are 20, 30, 40 volumes? The Qur'an is a book of principle. The Qur'an does not give you the minor details of your ahkam. The Qur'an tells you pray salah. It doesn't tell you where to tie your hands, where to say Allahu Akbar, how to bow down. The Qur'an tells you give zakah. Does it tell you anything about 2.5%? Yes or no? The Qur'an says that you perform hajj. Is there any mention of Mina in the Qur'an? Yes or no? Is there any mention of kissing this and doing that and going here and throwing this many stones in this angle from here at this time, from this time to that time in this date? All of those things are not in the Qur'an. This is a problem that we have. A young person came to me and said to me, show me the hukum of hijab in the Qur'an. I said to her, the scholars have deduced the ruling of hijab, the women covering their hair, that has been deduced from some verses of the Qur'an indirectly. If you're asking me for a direct verse of the Qur'an with the hukum of hijab, I don't have it. But that doesn't mean that it's not fard. Just because it's not in the Qur'an does not mean what? It doesn't mean it's not fard. Because why? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very clear and present in abundance on this issue. And they are authentic. They are sarih and sahih. Clear and authentic on the issue. And for the Muslim ummah, we understand that our religion beyond the Qur'an also comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the practice of the Sahaba. And this is exactly why we call ourselves Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah means the people of the Sunnah. Wal Jama'ah means the people of the group of the companions. Another person came to me and he said to me, how many rakat tarawih is Sunnah? So I told him there's a difference of opinion. A large group of scholars say it's 20 rakat tarawih, as the practice has always been in history in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, and Quds. And another group of scholars, they say it's 8 rakat tarawih. At the end of the day, it's sunnah. The more you pray, the better it is for you. You know, the more you do, the better it is. He said to me, show me sahih hadith of 20 rakah. What did he say? Show me sahih. The sad and ha became very crisp. Sahih hadith of 20 rakah. So I said to this brother, okay, I got you. You want it? Okay. The hadith is in Muwatta Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi narrates the hadith that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an established 20 rakat tarawih in Medina Munawwar. It's an authentic narration. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an established 20 rakat tarawih behind one imam in one congregation. This is the way we pray right now. It was established by who? Umar ibn Khattab. So he says to me, and this is what took the soul out of my body, what he said next. He said, don't quote Umar, show me Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, don't quote who? Don't quote Umar to me. Show me the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said to him, Allahu Akbar. There was a time when the Romans and Persians heard this same man's name and their feet would shake. There was a time where Shaitan wouldn't dare walk on that pathway that Umar walked on. There was a time where he would say something to the Prophet of Allah and it would come as revelation. And today our young Muslim says, don't bring Umar radiallahu anhu in front of me. What happened to the Ummah? Did we lose our priorities? Did we really misplace our values? Loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is loving his companions, loving his tradition, loving his revelation, and ultimately the true manifestation of obedience is in ita'ah, it's in iqtida, in obedience, in following, and ultimately making the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam your leader, making him your role model. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to use this Ramadan to realign our loyalty with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding what role he plays in our life and what duties we have towards him. And this all starts with believing in him, loving him, learning about him, and ultimately bringing his sunnah into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and grant tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.